Hey there, it's Tony, and welcome to episode 114 of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Today we're talking LinkedIn, we're talking recruitment, and we're talking dumb leaders who think they're too important. Hey there, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dumb Leader Podcast. Today we're talking about recruitment and specifically recruitment on LinkedIn, and we get a lot of the posts that come through on LinkedIn from recruiters bemoaning certain things around the recruitment process. There's a lot of posts that come out from people that have been impacted from the recruitment process. But I found it really interesting during the week. I had a discussion. I added some comment to a post that had been put in by a recruiter. And at the end, after a couple of days, it's been a very interesting journey to see what's actually happened and what's actually transpired on this particular post. So let me read out the post. Now, the post will be embedded at dumbleaders.com on this episode's podcast post. So you'll be able to see the post. And you'll be able to see what I'm talking about in relation to, the amount of posts, the amount of traction, and all that sort of stuff. Now, this post has gone what I would consider viral. You know, it's had a large number of comments. It's had a large, diverse range of opinions. And the post or the comment that I put on it has actually had an incredible large amount of people that have liked my comment on the post. So it's been one of those posts that that seems to work on LinkedIn. It seems to be very much a recruiter or a professional process here. Now, at last, when I'm talking about this on recording this podcast, the post itself had 9,730 likes and it had over 400 comments. And there were two comments out of those 412, I think it's at. There were two comments on that particular post that had both received well over 100 likes themselves. And mine was one of them. So I found it, I thought it was an interesting thing to talk about here at the podcast and to be able to talk about why people resonated with what I said as opposed to what many other people had said. So the post itself, it was posted from a recruiter. So, and it starts off with the words recruiter. And it was like a post that was detailing the two-sided conversation, right? So with the it starts off with recruiter. Candidate passed on the offer. The manager, again, question mark. This is the third candidate that turned it down. The recruiter says he's no longer interested in the opportunity. And then the story evolves. The candidate, so that was the initial two-way communication that got the post evolved. The candidate took a lengthy assessment test. We rescheduled his phone interview twice to accommodate your schedule. Then he had an in-person interview for 2 hours. After 3 days, he sent me an email for feedback or an update. I sent you an email on the same day. 4 weeks later, you responded to extend an offer. The manager says, I'm very busy and my schedule is always jammed. The recruiter, with all due respect, looking for a job is not an easy task and job seekers' time is more valuable than those who are employed. Now, these candidates are our neighbours, our sisters, our brothers, our cousins, etc. They have responsibilities as well and they're in need of productive and an honest approach. It's their livelihood, family, and the right to earn a living. It's our duty as recruiters, managers, and employers to value their time and make it a priority to provide a short, simple, and productive approach to hiring, which will ultimately benefit the employers more than the job seeker. Show them that they're respected, valued, and welcomed, and provide them with a welcoming and pleasant experience to be remembered and embraced. anything else is a waste of time. Now, there's a couple of things that personally I probably, there's a couple of things in there that probably would concern me. Things like the recruiter sitting back and waiting for 4 weeks to follow up on an email is quite concerning that that would happen. You know, based on personal opinion, is the comment in relation to a job seeker's time is more valuable than those employed. So there would be some personal perceptions around that. But generally, the post was the way that I read it anyway. And once again, you have your own biases on it. The way I read it was that the manager was just far too busy to create timeliness within the recruitment process. And it's interesting when you look at, then you start going through and you're looking at all the comments that have been made. And overwhelmingly, the comments are supportive of the original post, right? So I'll read out some of the comments that have occurred. So Terry wrote, another manager who does not realise the one being interviewed is also interviewing the company. And that's true. How many hiring managers or companies see themselves in this message? How many will revise their process? Having an open position should be a priority. Others in the department are picking up the slack, which isn't fair. It puts pressure on the entire team, can increase errors and drain enthusiasm. Absolutely. And Marie said that. Sarah says, one company had not sent me the WebEx interview link until it was a few minutes past the scheduled interview. It told me a lot about them. They forgot that job seekers are not the only ones being judged in a job interview. So these are some of the comments. And most of the comments, you know, some people have liked them. And, you know, most have received, you know, 3 to 7 people that have either liked or made some other comments on it. Eric, I think his name was, says, spot on. The funny thing about such hiring managers is that they do not realise that the earlier they finish the recruitment process, the faster they have the person on board. This means that the new hire can help to handle some of the workload. If an employer takes too long to respond, I'm not going to assume that they are busy. I'm going to assume that they don't value the people they currently or potentially employ. With the exception of being unemployed, job seekers have options. And if one employer is interested in, odds are someone else is as well. Unless you are my dream job or company, I'm going to take the one that values me as a person and what my contribution can bring to your company. Gil says, it still surprises me when a blue chip company disrespects its candidates by failing to give timely feedback after an interview. There's never an excuse for this, he says. Vincent says, if the manager is that busy that it takes this assessment, multiple phone screens, reschedules, a 2-hour interview, and 4 weeks to provide feedback, the manager really doesn't want or need anyone to fill the requisition, and moreover, definitely doesn't value the importance of what the quality of the candidate experience means. It gives a glimpse of what the company culture and predominant management style of the firm will be. Lee talked about the time that he took 3 assessments, was submitted to the hiring manager. The recruiter came back to me to take 3 more assessments plus a Skype presentation. This is all before the hiring manager has even spoken to me. 6 assessments. What a ridiculous process. So, Robert says, sorry to say, but your candidate dodged a bullet. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. This is a case, and this is done by Jeffrey. This is a case of a manager that should not be a manager. If they cannot manage their work and time, how can they manage or better yet lead people? There is no need to keep a candidate waiting. If you do, maybe you need to learn how to interview. That was Jeffrey. And I'll just make a point here that Jeffrey's post received 5 likes. And when you compare it back with mine, it's interesting because it's a very similar concept. Greg says, the fact that someone may be busy does not necessarily mean that they're competent or productive in their current role. Okay. Daniel says, if a manager cannot properly manage his or her own time, why would anyone want to work for him? James was talking about 6 interviews over 6 weeks with the same company before. He followed up passionately while I made it to the final round. I was told that I was not the main choice and wanted to give me one more interview. He actually got the job. So well done to James. Joshua says that candidate needs to add the hiring manager to their Christmas card list and send a thank you every year for the preventing the anguish of actually working for them. Number two, the recruiter needs to jump on the sword and own more of the process. So I probably would agree with that, Josh. I get it. The hiring managers hold decision keys and we can't want it more than them. But why allow it to go for 4 weeks? I would agree. Howard said, personally, I feel that if I don't get any love in the dating period, it'll only get worse once we are married. Yep, how true is that? Like most recruiters, that's why there are so many and job hop like kids who can't decide what to do with their life was another post, which... Oh, sorry, this is some of the... Now we go into what some of the dumb leaders said, right? So the dumb leaders... So out of those 412 or so comments, I picked up five from dumb leaders. And interestingly, every dumb leader was a male. So, you know, that concept of importance, that concept of testosterone really starts to stick out here. One guy... with multiple exclamation marks. Why did the recruiter wait 4 weeks for a response from one email? Okay, quite angry. Like most recruiters, that's why there are so many, and I'm presuming he's saying so many recruiters, and they job hop like kids who can't decide what to do with their life. So let's take a shot across the bow at the recruiter for bringing this injustice to in front of me. This was a classic. Another nonsense post on LinkedIn. You totally misinterpret what a recruiter does for a living. You are more of a career coach. You know, one of those people who think they know what they're talking about and give BS advice to people looking for jobs. Why didn't you call the manager rather than email and do nothing for a month? It's your fault. So we're blaming the recruiter, and yes, you know, at the end of the day, 4 weeks is a long time to be sitting back waiting for a response, especially when you're in a business relationship like that. But at the end of the day, the manager has the severe failing here. So it's not the recruiter's fault. It's the recruiter could have done a lot more, absolutely. But that also just reeks of dumb leadership. That's that I'm so busy and I'm so important process coming back out. You should have done that. You know, that sort of stuff. Soon the hiring process will be handled by AI or some kind of bot, so I appreciate the human imperfections in the current process. It makes for conversation anyway. Cheers to the HR professionals anyway. And the last one, recruiter, job seekers' time is more valuable than those who are employed. Not following the logic there. And if a recruiter ever told me that and devalued my time in that way, I would cease to do business with them immediately. And of course, you've got the right to do business with whoever you want. So, but I think the whole point of the post was about valuing the process, having that person value the process. They're getting a glimpse of your culture. They're getting a glimpse of what it would be like to work there. So where the manager reschedules, where the manager... takes 4 weeks to provide feedback, that's giving a glimpse of what that business is going to be like. So what did I write? So there was another post on there that received, you know, 107 comments and likes, and I think mine received some just a couple under that. And both of them said, both of those, and most of the other ones were less than 10. So I once again... maybe it's the algorithms of LinkedIn that kicked in, that picked them up and highlighted those two posts to everyone else. I'm not quite sure how it worked. But why mine resonated. So what I see, what I wrote, was very simple. What they see in the recruitment stage is replicated if they take up the offer. If you're too busy for them during recruitment, you'll always be too busy to coach and develop them. And as I said, I had a number of people saying, so true. Some people gave me some stories on that as well. And most people took the time and the effort to at least click the like button, which is pretty cool. But to me, it was almost like a stereotype of a dumb leader, the one that believes that they're more important than any other, the one that has always has more important things to do than be with others, attend to others, and serve others. Now, for some of those dumb leaders, the DLs, it's a power thing. For others, it's woefully inadequate time management and prioritization skills. And then there's another set where it's people that work in businesses that have failed in developing themselves to be at the next stage before the next stage hits, but the next stage of growth is hit prior to any sort of development. So you've got people that are potentially, for want of another word, incompetent, trying to do the job of a fast-growing business. You know, I've seen startups in that boat, especially where people who are enthusiastic and energetic around what it is suddenly get into this fast growth spurt, and the people are inadequate to be doing the job, but the company hasn't had any planning or any growth development for the team or the business process or systems or structure. And all that does is create stress and pressure amongst the team that they've got. So in respect of that, the manager that feels that they're too important will probably never evolve. You know, I had an experience during when I had my last job change, when I was working for someone else, where the recruitment manager spoke a lot about integrity and trust right through the process. And most contacts he had with me was that he was a man of integrity and that he was someone that could trust. And I didn't pick up on that as a red flag. But if someone's got to keep telling you that they've got integrity and trust, it's probably a precursor that they don't have that. He also failed to front for an interview, my very first interview. And I was interviewed by another manager who was at the same level as the position that I was going for. So all that ultimately ended up doing was adding another interview in the process when the DL had to validate the original email. And so there was a couple of flags that I didn't pick up on, But it was all magnified then on day one. So day one, you're excited, you're joining the company, you're going through onboarding, you're going through induction. And around 8 a.m. that morning, I'm sitting on my computer in an open planned office area, and I looked around and there was no one there. It was about 8:05 and everyone had gone. Now, unbeknownst to me, there was an 8 o'clock state meeting that everyone was supposed to attend, and I could hear everyone in the meeting room, so in I went. But not one person had thought to tap me on the shoulder and let me know. I was expected to attend that meeting, but I didn't even know the meeting existed or that the meeting was on. They just all upped and left. Once again, a precursor for the culture within that particular company. Then after the meeting, the dumb leader gave me what I will call forever his handwritten manifesto. And he promised me 30 minutes of his time to go through it that afternoon. Needless to say, that was not the first broken promise. And it certainly wasn't. Needless to say, that was the first broken promise. But it wasn't the last. You know, I never really felt secure in that environment. I never really felt part of that business. The team that were there were predominantly decent people, good people. But they'd evolved their way of doing. That compensated them for the way that the culture was. And ultimately, the culture was toxic and very self-preserving. It was all about self-preservation. You know, it took me 19 months and I left. So guess what, dumb leaders? You are not the most important thing in your business. And when you are recruiting, you have an opportunity to display culture, to display values, to display what it would be like to work there. And if you're not getting great people, wanting to come and work, or if you're getting people that are turning down job offers, have a look at what you're showing them about your culture in the recruitment process. And maybe, just maybe, you might be able to change. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Check out the post itself over at dumbleaders.com. We share all our podcasts over there at dumbleaders.com. And we will also embed the LinkedIn post so that you'll be able to read some of the comments. As I said, overwhelmingly supportive of the lady that that posted it, although there was a hint that it had been plagiarized before. But obviously, I look at the message for what it is. And in this particular case, it was a very good example of what not to do during the recruitment process. So check it out over there at dumbleaders.com. If you think it's valuable, please leave us a review. Please share it amongst your friends. The Dumb Leaders podcast, the Dumb Leaders handbook are certainly gaining traction. And we certainly are here to add value to you to help you be a better leader. And if there's anything that we can do, please contact us over at the contact page at dumbleaders.com. If you want to share your Dumb Leader story, please do. Please do. And once again, you can do that over at dumbleaders.com. Until next week, this is Tony signing off episode 114 of the Dumb Leaders podcast. I'll see you all next week.